Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's the superstar. He is the superstar. Huge story written about him today in The Athletic. And, you know, because of this huge story, you decided to blow this off, this podcast. You forgot all about me already. You have forgotten where you came from.
No, I'm 13 minutes late to record, but it was because I honestly just forgot that I told you that we would do it today. I honestly thought it was tomorrow.
So you were doing? You were reading your press clippings.
No, I wasn't. I was watching Northwestern and Minnesota in their final regular season game so I could do a good job tonight.
So, Brendan Quinn, and if you haven't read the story, you need a subscription for The Athletic. But Brendan Quinn did a story on you today. And I will say this, Brendan, before I don't want to increase your ego at all, but I'm going to increase Brendan Quinn's, who I think might be the best college basketball writer in the country. I think he's that good. He called me as I was walking into Cameron. I can't remember if it was the day of the game or the day before. When did you meet with him? Saturday?
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
It was before the Ohio State-Michigan State game Thursday.
Yeah. It was while I was walking into the news conference. Kay had a news conference at 1 o'clock on Thursday. Usually people have them on Friday. He had it on Thursday. So I was walking in. He called me. And I had to be forced to say some positive things about you, which was
It had to be tough. I'm sure it was hard for you. You
know, it was very, very difficult.
One of my toughest critics, Jeff Goodman.
he wrote a good story about you. He really did. He wrote a good story about you. And I don't know. Have you read it yet?
I did. I read it this morning. Yeah. It was really nice of him. He was really fun to hang out with. We talked a lot about golf. Yeah. We talked a ton about his coverage of golf now,
isn't he?
Yeah, he covers the PGA Tour. Yeah. So we talked a lot about golf courses and then some basketball too. But yeah. he was super great, and it was really nice of him to say that stuff. And everybody who was he interviewed, even you.
Even me.
Nice.
It was so difficult.
I appreciate you saying those nice things, and everybody else for saying those nice things too.
No, I mean it. I mean, it kind of hit me reading it of like, sometimes I forget the adversity you went through as a player, because we've known each other so long, even since then, and talked so much that you forget. And obviously, you know, again, I think it's fair to say we're all supposed to be objective when we do this job. And you know that now better than ever. Sure. But it's hard. It's hard to be objective. I had known you since you were a kid and watched you go through some of those injuries. And then remember talking to you when you were overseas. We went out for dinner one night in the NBA. Yeah. In Chicago, we went out. And then when you came to Boston, you started an NBA game in Boston.
Yeah. I probably started, 11 games in my career? So you got to see one of the 11 I actually started.
It was crazy.
You know what the funniest thing about that game was? So – Micah Shrewsbury was an assistant on those Boston teams with Brad Stevens, and I played for Micah for a year at Purdue. And he was sitting next to Rajon Rondo on the bench, and I start, and I'm guarding Jeff Green. And you know how Jeff Green is. He is really talented, but there was nights when he was like, you know, I don't really want to play that hard. And I was like, you know, balls to the wall. If I don't play as hard as I can, I'm not going to be here very long. So, like, I'm looking at this like, all right, I got to freaking defend Jeff Green to the best of my ability. And Jeff was having a bad game. And Micah told me after the game, he goes, I'm sitting next to Rondo. And Rajon says to me, shit, Jeff's getting checked by a science teacher out there. And I was like, you know, in my heart, that really hurts me, but it actually is really funny. So
yes,
pretty hilarious.
That is pretty good. But yeah, I mean, all the adversity, and he didn't get into that so much. It was more looking forward at kind of what you've done in this part of your career. But I just think a lot of people that probably watch you on TV now, you know, the younger, whatever, I don't think they realize everything you went through in your career, yeah. The two torn ACLs, and even like the back brace. I mean, the back was one that
the back brace,
yeah. Which still you get to bring out of the closet. You need to wear that on a pod.
You know what was awesome about the turtle shell is I got more healthy. I kept wearing it through the USA basketball stuff my sophomore year. So at tryouts, I'm feeling good. I'm using that bad boy as a battering ram. Like I'm slamming into Evan Turner and like posting him up, and no one wanted to guard me because it was a weapon. It became like a
metal jacket out there.
Dude, it was like initially it was necessary to not like have my back feel so crappy. But once I started feeling better, I was like, dude, I can use this as a weapon. I'm going to crush people when I like boxing out, posting up.
Evan Turner.
Yeah, Evan Turner. He ended up all right. He's fine.
All right. So anyway, we'll pick up with a few conference tournaments here in a bit. But did you get a chance to watch the Duke Carolina game on TV or no?
No, I was flying. I was in the Indianapolis airport and I was eating dinner because we had Indiana Purdue at 2 and I had a flight at 7. So the game tipped at what? Six. Okay. Yeah. So I was sitting at the Harry and Izzy's at the Indy airport and they got a million TVs. And I was like, oh, good. I'll get to watch some of the fanfare and the start before I have to leave. And that Kansas Texas game, you don't even know this. It went to overtime. Yeah. And Jalen Coleman Lands made a shot that didn't count by like maybe 0.2 of a second, 1/10 of a second. I mean, it was, you have to think, not what the network wanted. Yeah. That game was huge too. Like that was for the Big 12.
Yep.
And so they were cutting in and out and you got to see some of it, but probably not all of it. I got to see that. And then I don't think because that game went so long and I had to leave for my flight, I didn't get to watch any of the game.
Yeah, and the game became significant. We didn't think it was going to be significant at all. And the lead up was cool, Rob. I think I told you, even when we did the podcast, to me, the lead up was cool. It wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be the day before the game because all the tents were gone out front. But the day of the game, it was awesome. In that main area, right by game day, it was packed. You know, fans come in, you know, all these environments this year, you appreciate them so much more because we didn't have them last year. So they're all great. Like, you know, Texas Tech was the best for me, but Providence was awesome. UCLA was great when they played Villanova. Obviously this one was great. And then you had the game and I was shocked. I was shocked that Carolina came out and played as hard and as mentally tough as they did. But my take on that was, weren't they pretty loose? I mean, I know they're on the bubble, but they're still loose because nobody thinks they're going to win the game.
Well, I wanted to ask you, did you think that Duke's players were overly tight because of the fact that, this is coach's last home game, last game against Carolina? Do you think that impacted those dudes?
At the end, yes.
I saw the videos of him talking and everybody looked like, you know, season's over. Like, and that's where you hear Coach K say that.
But they were up, Rob. Like, so here's what happened is Carolina got off to a good start. Then Baycott picked up his second foul with about 6 minutes left in the first half. He begged to go back in the game. Hubert wouldn't put him back in the game. Duke went on a run. They went up about 10. They literally went on I looked over to Norlander next to me. I said, all right, Duke's going to be up 10 at the half. Yep. Well, they went up 10 quickly with about 2 minutes left in the half in the span of about 4 or 5 minutes. And then Carolina came back, cut it to 2. I forget. I think it was RJ Davis hit a 3 maybe at the end of the half to cut it to 2. So I'm like, all right, like maybe this will be a game a little bit. Maybe we'll get a game at the end. So I don't think it was necessarily Duke playing tight until the end. And then Carolina was up with 5 minutes left, with 2 minutes left. And then you saw guys taking dumb, ill-advised, early in the shot clock shots. And then they got tight. You could see it. But I don't think they were tight. after the first maybe couple minutes, I think they were amped up early.
Yeah. Amped they got up. To, but they got out to a bad start, didn't they?
I think they were too hot. Yes. Too hot, yeah. I could see like the beauty of Duke compared to anywhere else is we still get those seats that are right. I mean, the best seats in the house because you're in front of the Cameron crazies. Right. Literally, Trevor Keels is – you can't – here's how tight it is. I couldn't stand for the national anthem. I could – there's no way you can get up. You have to climb over the table to get into your seat. Once you're in the seat, they are on you. I could – legitimately, I felt guilty as hell, but I could not stand up for the national anthem.
Did you get stuff poured – was it paint or is it beer that you said? Did you get paint dumped on you?
Not much. Yeah, it was not – actually, I probably should look in my jacket. I shouldn't say that. There probably is. It's a blue jacket, so there probably is blue paint on there. So then, you know, after the game, obviously the big thing was they lose. They go in the locker room for 15 minutes. They come out.
It was a long wait then.
Yeah, 13, 15 minutes. Well, I'm sure he lit into his team. I'm sure he said, I asked Paolo, and Paolo said, yeah, he was disappointed in us. He was pissed off. And I came out, and he was pissed off and disappointed. You could see it. He grabbed the microphone, basically said, you know, this is an embarrassment. I apologize. His family tried to, you know, stop him.
Wait, an embarrassment, like, Carolina is on scholarship. It's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Like, they lost, but an embarrassment?
So then later in the media, he was very complimentary to Carolina.
I mean, Armando Bacot is an animal. That dude,
he was awesome.
He lives with 20 and 15. You know, that's what he does. So I just, when I heard him say it's an embarrassment, I was so confused because it's not like they lost to a D2 school.
He was embarrassed by their effort. He was embarrassed by their effort, I think, was a bit in their fight. And they're probably their mental toughness. All of the things that we've hammered Carolina for all year, that's kind of what Duke was on this night. And again, the pressure was there. No doubt they had heard about it all week. But as bad as Kay was in that post game to the crowd that was caught on camera by everybody, because I think ESPN stuck with it, he was that good in the post game to the media afterwards. I think then he had a chance to kind of take everything in. And he was funny. He made fun of himself. He said how much he's happy that this is over. You know, and even like, okay, here's a small example, but I think it does say a lot about somebody. I've seen a lot of coaches go after student reporters. When student reporters ask a question, whether it's a good question or bad question, a lot of coaches look at them like they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Well, the last question came from a student reporter at Duke. And I loved how Kay looked him in the eye the entire question, answered it. Probably, you know, might be the last time again that reporter gets a chance to ask Kay a question. You do learn something about somebody that in that context, because I've seen enough guys go at these kids and I think it's bullshit. And he was obviously coming off an embarrassing loss. So how much do you think, how does this affect Duke now? Going into the ACC tournament, Rob, and then we'll talk about what's on the line for the ACC tournament besides for Duke.
I don't think it affects them at all, honestly. I think it's one game. I think it's a tough deal where you wanted to win it. There was a lot of pressure on you to win it. You didn't. And, you know, like Coach K said, we have a lot to play for still. They're a good team. So I think it's probably more of a footnote in history now. There, it's like, Duke lost Coach K's last home game against their rival.
I was there when they killed
him. Yeah, right. It's more of that, but I don't think it. The ACC tournament, I don't know if they can still get to that one seed. I want to say they're pretty harshly on
the
two line.
Yeah.
So to me, you win a game. If you lose after that in the semis, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Just get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they were bad defensively. That was the one thing that they got to shore up. RJ Davis just got to the basket whenever he wanted, did whatever he wanted. He looked like damn Kyrie Irving out there at times. ACC tournament. Here's to me what's on the line, and tell me if there's anything different for you. You know, by the time this podcast goes out, Wake will have played Boston College. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one for Wake. They can ill afford to lose that. I think if they lose that, they're out. I really believe that they're out.
The bubble is the story for the ACC.
100%. Notre Dame,
Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Virginia,
Miami.
Miami. Yes, Miami.
And I don't think
Miami
Virginia's bubble. Not really in the equation. Virginia's got to go.
Lunardi had them next four out. So they're
okay.
They're all right. They're so they probably super far.
Yeah, they got to go. And again, the good thing is they can win some games, right? They get Louisville, Georgia Tech, then they get Carolina, which is actually not a bad, and then they would get Notre Dame. So if they can get to the championship game, which again, Tony Bennett, shit, he could win the ACC title and it wouldn't shock you, would it?
No. I guess, well, let me say this. With this year's team, outside of the Duke win,
right,
it would shock me if they won the ACC title.
It's still Tony Bennett.
It's not a diss on him. It's right. More of just, I don't think his team is capable.
Agreed. But all I'm saying is, all right, Virginia, North Carolina, they could win that. Virginia, Notre Dame, or Virginia Tech, they could win that. Then they get to Duke, and they might already be on the right side. You know, again, that's one. If they win two games, that's a team I could see getting in the first four. That's a team that I could see the committee saying, you know what, we don't have another big name program to put in the first four. Let's make sure we get Virginia in there so people watch.
You know, you said that they could get Notre Dame. I don't know. My man, Nate Leshefsky, who's on my all-star team that I drafted, I think he'd have something to say about that. So.
But, yeah, I think the other teams are all going to be in. I think the ACC is going to get four or five teams in at the end of the day, which seems high for how bad the league was.
Compared to what we were saying in December, where it was like they could get two.
And again, they're close to getting two. I mean, it's not like the other three are gonna get in and – They're all close. I mean, Miami, Wake, and Notre Dame are all probably on the 11 line today.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Know what's great? Being able to work from anywhere. I just need my laptop and decent Wi-Fi. Know what's not so great? Being spread out across the country and trying to keep the team on the same page and focused on tasks. That's why I'm a huge fan of Coda. With teams working all across the country, if your best work is spread out across documents and spreadsheets, and a stack of workflow tools you have to jump in and out of all day, you need Coda, the doc that brings it all together. Coda is endlessly customizable and connected. There are templates for anything and everything. Product roadmap, remote onboarding, OKR tracker, meeting notes, you name it, Coda has it. Coda adapts to growing teams and changing strategies. It can help change how you view info depending on what you need to do with it. Perhaps most importantly, Coda seamlessly integrates with all the tools you need. Everything in Coda is synced. Make an update in a table and it automatically shows up everywhere. No more relying on copy and paste to keep linchpin projects current. Your team can operate on the same info and collaborate the way we all want to, quickly and efficiently. With Coda, you could solve for just about anything. And right now, you can get started having your team all working together on the same page for free. Head over to coda.io/good. That's coda.io/good. All right, let's move over to your Big Ten boys. What is the biggest storyline right now in the Big Ten tournament for you?
Can Illinois get to a three? Can Purdue get to a two? You know, Purdue Wisconsin could play in the semis if it stays chalk. I don't know if, you know, certainly Wisconsin's 2-0 against Purdue on the season. They swept them. So I don't know if one win would be enough to – because right now Lunardi's got them as the 8 and the 9 teams in his S-curve. Okay. So I don't know if that's enough for them to pass them, you know, to go 2-1. I guess maybe – the thing about the Big Ten that everyone always says, and I have never actually fully understood, is does the championship actually get credit? Because to me, I assumed the committee would say, all right, if this team wins, this is what the bracket is.
There's two brackets, wins, Rob. Yeah, there's two brackets.
I assumed, but everybody's always like, well, we don't get credit because we're the last game. And I don't totally buy that.
Right.
I think that it's for those top teams, can they move up a seed line? And then it's the bubble as well. Indiana, Rutgers, Michigan. Yeah. I think Michigan's probably in after beating Ohio State.
I do too.
Rutgers seems to be pretty secure as well. Lunardi's got them last four byes. Indiana is the first team out of the tournament. So they've got to beat Michigan. That's the, to me, that's the biggest game in the Big Ten tournament.
By the way, I am wearing the hat in honor of your alma mater, because they don't really like you these days, or a segment of the population.
Somebody on this podcast has to be well liked. That's right. Purdue fan base.
I'm going to take you in, Purdue Nation, and you can take me back in instead of Hummel, because
we got to have somebody that's well represented.
Most of the fan base loves you. They want you to be Homer Harry. That's not going to be you. You're not going to be Homer Harry, not on the air, at least off the air.
Tune into Bobby Riddell. My man, Bobby Riddell will be that. He's the Purdue radio guy.
That's right. He can be Homer Harry.
It's his job. That's fine.
I'm with you. I think, you know, to me, Illinois, Purdue, like, I just want to see, can they get some real momentum here?
Totally.
Like, you know, I think one of those teams is going to go in and people are going to be on the bandwagon. I think one of them probably wins the Big Ten tournament, if I had to guess.
Yep. But also, if Iowa was to win, I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked. They missed a ton of free throws there tonight in Champaign. I would not be surprised at all if they won the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. In Wisconsin, you know, as much as I love what they've done this year and give them all the credit in the world for what they've done, I'm still not a believer of this Wisconsin team going – deep. I think Michigan State has a good draw here.
You got Maryland again, and then they would see
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah. And they won in Madison. I will say for Wisconsin, how healthy is Johnny Davis?
Right.
That is the biggest question.
And he's just been banged up. Also,
I know, but he took that hard fall and never came back on the floor against Nebraska. Right. I will say about them, though, early in the year, they won games because Johnny Davis was incredible. Yes. 30 against Houston.
Yep.
37 at Purdue. Yep. We had some of these massive games. And later in the year, other guys have gotten really way better. Chucky Hepburn has made huge strides. He missed 100%. Some big shots and some free throws against Nebraska, but the Purdue game, he's phenomenal. And he's been really good over the last month of the season. Davison is an all Big Ten player. Stephen Crowell has gotten way better. You know, they've had some guys really improve.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and they've shuffled guys. And Greg Gard is, I think he has got to be in the conversation for National Coach of the Year. I know that Tommy Lloyd's got to be there. You know, Ed Cooley's got to be there. But I think Greg Gard's
got to be
with those guys. He's got to be in the top three guys.
He's been awesome. Like, what the job Greg Gard has done, again, has been incredible, because I don't think anybody – if you were ranking teams 1 to 100 in the preseason, you might have
– 10th. 10th in the Big Ten preseason poll.
Yeah, so you would have had him somewhere – we didn't have him in our top 50.
Good job. Good job, probably, you and Rob. Nice.
All right. Well,
just joking.
Anyway, I agree. I got a lot of misses this year. A lot of the Maryland bench, Curbelo, Wisconsin, Providence. A lot of misses. Texas Tech.
Curbelo though is not totally fair because he got hurt so much, he's had a weird season.
Yeah, he sure has. All right, SEC. Your big. You know what's on the line here? What's the one thing you're watching? For me, it's a Kentucky-Auburn final.
Kentucky-Auburn, yeah.
For the number one seed.
Yep.
Right?
And who can kind of sneak in there. I don't necessarily think the Big 12 will hang on to 2-1 seeds with Baylor and Kansas.
No way.
So I think that Kentucky and Auburn, whoever wins that, is going to have the last one seed. So I think that, to me, is the biggest story.
The other one in the SEC is watch for all the coaches that are going to get fired. There's going to be a bunch.
Like Georgia's already announced.
They haven't announced, but it's going to happen.
Oh, so just media.
The Ole Miss Missouri game. The Ole Miss Missouri game today could be both of them being gone. That could be Conzo and Kermit Davis. Mississippi State, Ben Howland, and playing Frank Martin. They're both likely gone. Both of them are probably gone. Yep. So you have two matchups today in which all four coaches, to me, are probably likely gone. And then Georgia, that's five. And then the thing you got to really watch out for, Rob, is so Mike White played with Keith Carter, the Ole Miss AD at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Could Mike White, if they make a move on Kermit Davis, could he go back to his alma mater? Because they kind of kill him. The Florida fan base kills him.
Yeah.
And because he's not going
to, they're first four out or next four out, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They're probably not going to make it unless they got to beat Texas A&M and beat Auburn.
Which, Heath Carter, NCAA tournament 1998. It's tough.
Look at you. That's pretty impressive.
But yeah, of course. I mean, I know that they all played on the Ole Miss team that Papa beat.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
Big win for our community.
You locked down for that Valpo community, no doubt. At some point, you may be the next Valpo head coach.
No, I will not be that.
Who knows?
I will not be that.
During this great reshuffle, a record number of employees are considering switching jobs. So now is your chance to try to attract them. LinkedIn Jobs is here to help you connect with the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. Then add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Big East, which I will be at tomorrow, by the way, and then I will see you on Friday at the Big Ten. I expect the shrimp waiting for me in between.
What if I go and buy that and they don't let me into the arena?
They will let you in. You're Robbie Hummel. You had a huge expose on you today.
The security there does not give a shit about an expose.
Look at me.
Let me bring the shrimp in. My asshole friend is starving. He wants to be crying because the horseradish is so strong in this.
I know. I really do. I really need it. I got to get it somehow. Are you getting it today? What are you going to do?
Probably not today. I got too much work to do. I'll just eat in the hotel.
Maybe Saturday.
Yeah, I'll find a way to get down there. Their food is so good. We used to go there in college, and a lot of the guys on the team didn't like the shrimp cocktail sauce.
Couldn't handle it.
So I would eat like 45 shrimp the night before we play in Indianapolis because I love it. I think it is so good. And hey, some of those
did you ever get food poisoning ever when you were on the road playing? Did you ever eat something? Because Hunter Dickinson had some chicken, I'm told,
in Columbus. Was bad. I never experienced that from a food poisoning standpoint. Right. Now, I will say we were playing. So whenever we played in Indianapolis, whether it was the Big Ten tournament or the Wooden Tradition, which we played in, we would go out to eat. So it was usually St. Elmo's or Ocean Air or Fogo de Chao. So Fogo de Chao is all you can eat, and it's straight protein. So we went to Fogo de Chao, and all of us just murder the buffet. And we came out the next day and played like garbage against Indiana State. I actually wasn't playing. I was out for my knee. And after that, we never returned. We were going to Fogo de Chao. But think about it. Like, you eat, 60 ounces of steak, chicken, and whatever else, and you eat no carbohydrates. The protein overload in our bodies.
And you don't know that then. Like, things have changed so much from then when you played to now to how these kids are.
Well, the diet aspect of it is so much more. The kids are way more educated. You know, I wonder, you could probably answer this. Are the days of playing AU basketball where it's like, all right, we're at the Peach Jam. We don't have much time, though. Get out at McDonald's and, everybody get like $7 worth of food on the dollar menu.
Yeah, they're still there.
That makes sense. I mean, it's kind of as a necessity of AU. Right.
Yeah, when you're running around and they're trying to save money, Peach Jam's a little different because they have
they feed you. Peach Jam's a bad example.
Or like Vegas, it would have
been Nationals or
anything in Vegas. You're running from gym to gym. You're getting whatever you can. Jack in the
Box. Well, I will say though, last year for the USA Basketball, we had a training camp down in Orlando where Nationals was, and the Super Showcase. And the nostalgia of being in the Milk House is pretty strong. We played a billion games there, it was crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been there in years. All right, let's finish these, the bigger tournaments quickly. We'll run through them here. Big East, as I was getting to, Xavier, Travis Steele, they play today.
Yeah, it's a big one.
His job.
They're right there.
Yeah, his job's on the line too. No doubt about it. His job's on the line. Anything else? I mean, I don't think anything else major is on the line.
Nova locked into a three.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's pretty just.
There's not much. There. Villanova, I think, can get it.
Providence.
Right. Providence, probably a four. Probably a four.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Big East, there you go. Although it will be fun because the quarterfinal, MSG is great. And that'll be fun. Then, so I'm doing Big East to Big Ten, and then I'll go to Vegas where I'll see the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. So we'll go through those. Mountain West, anything stick out to you there? I mean, you got four teams that are all probably in the tournament right now. Boise, the one seed, Colorado State, San Diego State, Wyoming's close, but I think they're probably going to get in as the four seed. Kind of cool. I mean, I like the fact that we're going to have a good Mountain West and good representation there, but I don't think there's much on the line.
No, I would agree. Wyoming to me is the question mark. Who'd they just lose to? They lost to State of UNLV. They've lost two or three to finish the year. Yeah. UNLV, you know what? They've done a nice job there. Kevin Kruger has, what are they? They end up 18-13.
Yeah.
Taken over. They lost a ton of guys.
Yep. They got the five seed. They got the five
seed. Bryce Hamilton was like kind of the lone guy that hung around, and they just took transfers. And he's done a nice job there. He's done a really nice job.
Pac-12. I mean, to me, again, it's a three-man Pac-12. Could somebody come out of nowhere and beat Arizona? And because if they do on that side of the bracket, if Arizona loses, somebody will be playing to be a bid stealer, whether it's a Colorado, an Oregon, an Arizona State. Do you think Arizona's that good, Rob? Do you think they're that powerful?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think they're really good.
Yeah, I do too, but I still think they're beatable. Maybe not in this tournament, but
I'm not saying they're winning the whole thing 100%, but I think they've got the one question would be your boy Kerr.
Yeah.
Can Kerr run the show at a high level? But the front court is Mathurin, Tubelis, and Coloco, beasts. They're huge.
Huge.
I mean, they look like an NBA team.
And Coloco defensively.
He's just gotten so much better from last year. So much better.
Yeah.
Now, think about it. KenPom, three of those dudes, Tubelis, Mathurin, Coloco, top five in the KenPom Player of the Year. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
I will say, though, if we get UCLA, Arizona in Vegas, Pac-12 championship, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little pep talk with Kerr before the game if that happens. We'll see if I can get him, get him going.
Well, good Kerr, bad Kerr. Who are you getting?
We'll get good Kerr. If I can talk to him before the game, we'll get good Kerr. I promise you. I promise you. All right, what do we got left? We got Big 12, which I love going to usually. I try to get to Big 12.
Great event in Kansas City.
You've been there.
It is awesome. They do a great job.
They do. I mean, they're all good. The one that I think – so the Garden's really good. For the Big East, we know that. Big Ten's really good in Indy.
Great.
Big 12's really good in Pac-12. It's in Vegas, so I'm excited because it's Vegas.
It's better in Vegas than L.A. Totally. I remember watching in college, and Isaiah Thomas would be playing in the championship for Washington with, like, eight people in the stands.
Right, right.
It wasn't great.
I would say the ACC in Tampa and in Brooklyn –
it should probably be in North Carolina, right?
Every year.
It should be in Charlotte. It should be in Greensboro.
Yeah. Every year.
But Charlotte would be fine too, I would think. You've got enough schools.
That's true.
Is Atlanta good for the ACC when they've done that?
No,
that's SEC territory. So that's
and the SEC in Tampa. The SEC to me belongs in Nashville.
Or Atlanta.
Yeah, either one. But Tampa just, I don't know. I like Tampa for an NCAA tournament.
When did they have it in Tampa?
This year.
Really?
Yeah, that's where it is.
I didn't know that.
Huh? Yeah.
That's random. Why? Yeah. Just for Florida?
I'm not sure. I guess.
I would think that it would be a no-brainer Nashville, Atlanta alternate every year for the SEC.
Right.
But much like the Big Ten, I feel like should be probably mostly Indy. And if you wanted to roll Chicago in there, yeah, fine.
Yep.
But just because the United Center is not close to downtown, well, it's close to downtown, it's not easy to get to. You gotta get in a cab. Indianapolis is like New Orleans, or you walk from your hotel to your restaurant to your bars to the game and then back. It's a really good city.
All right, Big 12. I mean, really, the biggest thing that's on the line: Baylor, Kansas,
the one seed.
Oklahoma make a run, Rob? Can they make a run? I don't know where does Lunardi have them right now? How far off?
That is a good question. They're not in the last four buys. They're not in the last four in. In the first four out. They're not in the next four out. So
All right. So they got to really roll. They got to get to the title game, which is not going to happen.
I could see if maybe he's got a seedless. I don't know. Yeah.
They're not in. They're not in. So, the AAC. I mean, Memphis wins this thing. A lot of people are going to start picking Memphis to win in their brackets. Period. Yeah.
Agreed.
And I just don't know how real this is. Like, I don't know if this is real.
Houston is tough, and they sweep them.
But they haven't had their dudes. They beat them twice without.
I know, but Houston is the best team in the league, and you got to play who you can play. You know,
I'm with you. They're certainly they got some momentum, they got some confidence, some swagger. They're playing better. DeAndre Williams came in, and Monty Bates went out. And they're playing much better. So I'll give them all that. I just don't know if I'm ready to say, I'm in. I'm in on Memphis. Like, I don't know if I'm quite there yet.
But think about how far they've come, winning 10 of 11 after they lost 100%. So many games early.
Bad games.
I agree with you that it's not time to crown these guys as, second weekend guarantees. But I do think that Penny Hardaway has righted the ship. And, in that league to make the NCAA tournament, you've got to beat Houston.
Yeah.
And you've got to think that you've got to – probably beat SMU and maybe Wichita State. I mean, those are the three teams that you have to beat. They haven't beat SMU, but they did beat Houston.
Before we go, if you could have one first four matchup, one matchup of two teams that are on the bubble right now, who would you pick? Give me your first four matchup. Like, for me, it's Indiana and
I was gonna say North Carolina, but they're not there anymore.
They're in at this point. Who would you pick? Indiana?
Indiana for sure. And the others aren't as good.
I mean, that's a problem. Memphis now is probably off.
Because if you're talking last four in, first four out in the latest release, you're talking Wake Forest, Xavier, Wyoming, SMU is last four in. And you're talking Indiana, Dayton, BYU, Virginia Tech, first four out. So if I'm taking from those eight teams, Indiana for sure.
For sure.
Xavier, I guess.
Yeah. And that's why I think Indiana has a shot, especially if they win. People are saying they need to win two. I'm saying they beat Michigan and they'll get in the first four. That's what I'm saying. I would be shocked as hell if they don't get in the first four if they beat Michigan.
Yeah. Wake Forest wouldn't be, just because I think they're a good store in the ACC as well, but.
Yep.
But it's not like it would have been classic to see Indiana, North Carolina first four. But that would have been so good.
All right. All right. I know you got to watch some more Northwestern tape, so I don't want to take you away from that.
I do.
And you need to read the story about yourself again and again and again.
Another 15 times. I'm gonna call you and have you read it to me.
Bring the shrimp cocktail. If you don't bring the damn shrimp cocktail for me for the night session, leave 10 minutes earlier. Go take care of your boy and smuggle in some damn shrimp cocktail.
Is that a food that travels well? I'm not
sure.
You're
taking it 5 minutes.
Well, there's certain things that you order at a restaurant where you're like,
I did it last year. No, I brought it.
What I'm saying,
I brought it back to my room last year in Indy.
It's a lot, you know, the aesthetic of having it in the steel thing with the ice. They
package it to go.
All right, we'll see.
Listen, I will be very, very let down.
Here's my question. Why don't you have time when you're going from the airport to the stadium to stop at Harry and Izzy's or St. Elmo's and be like, I'm going to get a shrimp cocktail real quick?
I don't know if it'll be open that early. I don't think it'll be open.
What time are you getting in?
I land at 10:10 in Indy. 10:10.
Pretty sure they open at 11.
All right, and there goes Hummel. Doesn't even give me a goodbye, nothing, just absolutely leaves. You know, that is the life of a big star at this point. Big star, big ego. Make sure you tune in every single week. We got a few weeks left here in the postseason when it matters the most. Goodman and Hummel podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.